Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Lord Jesus, we praise you this evening, God. We honor you, God. We thank you, Father, because you know our hearts, God. You know where we are, God. We thank you that your presence is here, Lord, and you know exactly what we need to hear, God. You know the questions that we are asking, Lord. You know the struggles that we have, God. You know where we are, God, and we ask you that you may meet us individually, God. And as we hear your words today, God, we thank you that it's going to grow us, oh God, and lead us close to you, Lord. We praise you and we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I'm going to need a little bit of help from you guys today, being that we are all doing Daniel fast, right? So you're going to help me preach because we know we are a little bit on sugar and, you know, all those are the good stuff. So a lot of amen and make sure that we are all involved, right? So then that way we can get through this whole sermon, right? All right. So today, the title for today is Come Home. And we're going to be looking at Luke 15, 24, 11 to 24. So to illustrate a point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want the share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide the wealth between his son. A few days later, the younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About that time, his money ran out. A great famine swept across the land, and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into the field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired servants have enough food to spare. And here I'm dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as your hired servant.' So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But his father said to the servant, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house, put it on him, get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill a calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate a feast. For the son of mine was dead, and now he's returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found.' So the party began." So I love that story because it just shows our father's love. So in this instance here, just a little recap, is Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees and the teachers of religious law. He gives them a couple of illustrations in this verse. He tells them a couple of stories. First of all, he starts with a story about the lost sheep. He's like, hey, you know, if a farmer had 100 sheep and one went off, then he would leave the 99 and go get one. He looks at them and looks at their hearts, and he sees that they don't give it, because the Bible says that to further illustrate the point, meaning that they were not getting it in the first place. All right, so he stops there and then he's like, okay, I'm going to give you another story to tell you a little bit more about this. How about the woman who had 10 coins and then she lost one in the house and had to sweep the whole house so that she could find that one coin? And then when she found that coin, she called all her friends and they celebrated. And nothing. They're still like, Jesus looked at their hearts and he's like, they're still not. So to further illustrate the point, so again, don't forget, these are tax collectors. These are people who they couldn't identify themselves with herding the sheep. They never thought about, you know, they had somebody to do that for them. They couldn't identify themselves as women sweeping the floor because they had people to do that for them. So Jesus looked at their hearts and he's like, okay, let's talk about something that actually touches your heart. Let's talk about wealth. Let's talk about inheritance. Let's talk about your kids and the things that you want to leave for your kids. Let's talk about those things that touches your heart, right? And so he talks about these two sons, and one of the sons decides to he's all grown up, and he just wants to go, and he comes to his dad, even though it's not customary for him to get inheritance. Before the dad dies, he says, "Hey, dad, I want my inheritance so I can spend it." Dad is gracious enough, more than I could be, and he says, "Okay, I'll go ahead and give you your half of inheritance." And then he says, after a while, he got up and he left, and he went out and spent his money and enjoyed life out there. And then right after he ran out of money, a great drought came up. So he's with no money, he has no home, and there's a drought. So Amplified says, the Amplified version of the Bible says, at that point, he glued himself upon one of the citizens of the country. I'm not sure how that happened, but to me, what it tells me that nobody wanted him, to a point where he had to hold on to somebody. He's like, "You gotta help me. I gotta be with you. You gotta help me. You have to help me with some way somehow." Second of all, he was desperate. He knew that he didn't have anything. He needed something. But then third of all, too, he was stubborn, because don't forget where he came from. He would have gone home, but he still had that stubborn that I can still make it on my own, right? So the guy is gracious enough and sends him to go and feed the pigs. So he goes out there and he's feeding the pigs, he's sleeping there, and to a point where the food that the pigs were eating was looking enticing. That's how bad it was. Don't forget, verse 16, it says, but nobody gave him anything. He had left comfort, he had left protection, he had left love, he had left a lot of things in his father's house, and now he was out here with nothing. And at that point, when he was squished to that point, he remembered his father's house. And he said, I'm going to go to my father's house and I'm going to earn my way back by just telling him, hey, can I be a servant? Can I at least be a servant? Because the servants are eating, they are drinking, they have a place to sleep. So he resorts to go home, and he's walking home. And we see his father waiting for him, looking from afar and just looking and waiting for his son. And when he finds him, he hugs him and doesn't listen to what he's saying, but calls the servants to put a robe and a ring and sandals on his on him. So Jesus was illustrating this story to show the love of a father. Because initially, when the dad was raising these kids up, he had a plan for them. He had a plan of them growing at home, being under his protection. If anything came, he was going to always be there for them. And so this is the same thing that we have with our God, that he created us for a plan. He has a plan and a purpose for us. But then, at this point, when the son came to him, he knew his heart, and he knew that even though I might try to restrain him to go, his heart is already gone. And so, as a loving dad, he gave his will. He gave him his will. See, most of the time we are given God has given us a plan. He brought us to this earth, and he has a plan for us. Yet we choose to carve our own path and ignore God's plan, or we pick and choose what we want to be obedient on. Often we are this son in different way. We go to a heavenly father and tell him, "I am kind of done for your protection because I want to do this, and let me do this and this, and then you can do this, or let me do this first, and then after that, then maybe you can come in and help me out." And see, God cries for our hearts and cries for our foolishness, but still, because he's such a loving dad, he's like, "Okay, just go ahead, because I want you to choose me. I don't want to force you to love me." See, he doesn't write us off. Just like this dad, he stands at the gate and stares at the road that leads home and longs for us to return home. In his heart, he's saying, "Son, please come home." See, the son left and went to a distant land. He wasted all his money right there. And about that time, there was a big famine that came in. Now he was dealing with not only lack of the food, lack of what he had, but there were elements that were coming against him. And that's what happens. It doesn't matter how strong we are. It doesn't matter what we have. if you are not under God's protection, you are prone to be affected by elements out there. It is only under God's protection that we are always going to be protected. And that comes in the other side too. It doesn't matter what comes our way, because when we are under God's care, He can always take care of us. See, the enemy's plan is to separate and conquer. And under his father's house, no matter what was going on in the world, he was always protected. See, when he got really, really hungry, he tried to find a solution. He tried to do it on his own. So think about it. A child of the Most High, we decide that, okay, God, I want to go do my own things. I want to step out there. I want to try a couple of things. And we think that because we have material stuff, or we have this and this and this and this, we think that we can do it on our own. But like this son right here, he had a lot of wealth. He had a lot of stuff. And he left. He wanted to go as far as possible away from his father. He wanted to go so far that he can just do his own stuff. And I know that he still loved his dad, and that's why at the end he thinks about his dad. But when we get carried away by the things that we are doing, or the stuff that we have, or whatever is going on, and we walk away from God, we end up being so, so far away from us that even when you call upon God, even when God is calling upon us, we cannot hear because we are so, so far away. See, it's at this point when everything was going really bad, when he was eating the pig's food, that he realized that even his servants in his father's house were eating better food than he was. He realized that they had a bed, they had warmth. They were not sleeping with the pigs or eating the. They were not eating the pig's food. And then at that point, immediately he turned away from his foolishness and proceeded to walk to his father's house. He did not stop to think about, hey, I should have done this or I should have done that. He didn't sit there and try to qualify, hey, what's going to happen to me? What solution do I have? His cry was, when he realized that he had gone away from his dad, his cry was just to get back to his dad. See, verse 18 says, I'll go home to my father and say, I have sinned against the heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me as your hired servant. So this verse right here shows his repentance, his repentant heart. He doesn't wait until he goes to see his father. He repents right there. So immediately when he realized that he had gone away from his father, he turned and he had a repenting heart right there. And then he started walking towards his father. See, often the Holy Spirit hears our inner cry and hearts, and he nudges us to do something about it, to make a change, to turn our way and to turn out from our old ways and be new. But we are caught up with what's happening in my life. What if this is going to happen? What if I do this? And then before long, because we are so involved with ourselves and not remembering what God has that God is crying for us and calling us back, we don't move. We're in the same spot this week, next week, the week after. But God is saying that today is the time to move. Today is the time to start heading home. Yes. See, this guy longed for his dad's comfort, and he made a goal to return to his father's care. Even though at that moment when he decided that he's gonna turn around and go, he decided that he was gonna turn around and go to his dad. The biggest battle came in as he walked to his dad. Take a minute and think about it. Step one, he's so excited about where he's gonna go. He's excited about the food. He's excited about his dad. That his dad is gonna be home. He's excited about seeing his brother. But then step two, mind battles. The mind. That's when the devil comes in. and start working on his mind slowly by slowly. And that's what's happening. We come to church or we read the Bible, and then we get to a point in our lives where we hear these things and we want to make a change, but then we have all these mind battles that comes in our mind, and it stops us from taking that step back to our Father's house. We need to identify that these are the things that are holding us back from our God. These are the things that are holding us back from our Father. So against all, he kept his eyes on the destination. That's the against all odds, he kept his eyes on the destination. That the only thing that he could see was just redemption in his Father's house. See, what we focus on expands. If you focus on repentance, if you focus on the warmth of God, if you focus on just being in Father's house, then everything that you have is going to work towards that. But if you focus on defeat, if you focus on the things that you've done that are buying you from coming to God, then those are the things that you're going to see. But God is sitting there looking at you and saying, come home, I'm waiting for you. Amen. See, he was determined. He was really determined. After going away, spending half his father's wealth, he was still determined to come. He was determined that no matter what I've done, I'm still going to come home. My dad is still going to accept me. Even though he accepts me as a servant, I know he's going to be accepting me. Right? See, where all this is happening, where all this is happening, he's walking. His father is looking at a distance and longs for his son's return. He's thinking, how much is my son worth? He's thinking about how he's worth of his protection. He's thinking about how he doesn't care about the stuff that he took. He just wants his son home.
Yeah.
So his son is all filled with unworthiness. He wants to be a servant. But his dad is thinking about how worth he is. Because again, he has a plan and a purpose for him. See, this is the same cry that God has for us today. He's saying, come back. Come back home. Look at the world around us. Everybody is hurting. Everybody is hurting. There's a lot of people who are hurting. We've walked away from home. People have walked away from God. We've walked away from home. And we are looking for solution where we are so far away from from Father's house. And there is no way that we're going to be able to be satisfied. There is no way we're going to find satisfaction out there unless we come back home to our Father's house. See, God doesn't care what you've done. That is not important to him. Hebrews 8:12 says, and I will forgive their wickedness. I will never again remember their sins. So, just like this father, our God says, I will not remember what you've done. I will not remember even wickedness, not just your sin, wickedness. He's saying, come to me, and I'm not going to remember those things. I just need you under my roof. I just need you in my house. See, our Father, our God, his focus is to restore you to be the son and the daughter that he created you. He wants you under his care. See, the enemy is as powerful as you let him. Let me say that again. The enemy is as powerful as you let him. See, if you let him remind you of the things that you've done, those things are going to be so loud in your head that you're not going to be able to see what God is saying to you, that you're not going to hear God's call. See, it's easy to look at this example that Jesus was giving and think, hey, how unwise was this kid? If it was me, man, I would just have come home, right? But in that, what we do when we are faced with decisions in our life, is our first response running to our Father? Are we looking for answers somewhere else? Or are we looking at answers in our Father's house? Are we sticking home that when we have questions that we can just ask our dad who's right there because we're under his protection? Think about your kids. If they're going through their life and they have something that's bugging them, they can shout from the other room because they are under your care. But if they're out far away, okay, maybe they are, they might hear you depending on how far they go, as long as they go, don't go to the road. But if they are farther away from there, if they call upon you, are you going to be able, if you call them, are they going to be able to hear? What if they call you? Are you going to be able to hear? And it's the same concept that we have with God. We have to be under his house. This message is just being under God's house. If you're not under God's house, you are in trouble. It's just that simple. See, when the situation changed for him and his money ran out, the drought came in and forced him to, and he forced himself on one of the farmers, still trying to do it on his own. So we get to a point where, like this son, that things are getting really, really bad, and we just want to keep trying on our own. Today, I'm here to let you know, if you remember anything from this summer, today I want you to remember that God is saying, let go. I'm waiting for you. Come home. That's the most important thing to him. He doesn't care what you're holding. Stop holding on to the things you're holding on. Stop trying to fight it. It's not a struggle. It's not a struggle. The struggle is coming back, turning around immediately and coming on to God. And just have him hold you and have him just bless you and then you can tell him what you need. See, he kept fighting until to a point where he's making somebody give him food or take him so he can go watch the pigs. But all he had to do was come home. See, our Father is waiting and hoping that we can give him all our burdens. Let us not wait until the situation becomes so bad that the pig's food is looking appetizing. Let us realize that in our Father's house, there are great and wonderful things. See, out there, away from our Father's house, we are exposed. Turn on to the news this day. Turn on the news and see what's going on out there. We can't say we are safe, even regardless of what we are doing. But if we are under our Father's house, we know that he oversees everything and he can take care of us. And we don't have to have that fear, because that's the enemy's work, that he wants to put fear in us. But if we know that we are under our Father's care, we don't care who comes to the door. We don't care what's happening on the outside. It might snow, it might be whatever happens, but we are still under our daddy's care. And that's what he's saying today, that come home, come be under his care. See, in his Father's house, remember, in the whole land, there was drought, right? But in his Father's house, when the son came, what did the dad say? He said, get the calf that we've been fattening. So even though it was crazy out there, where there was no food, in his Father's house, there was still food to a point where there were fattening calves. And see, that's the point we have to have in our minds, that regardless of what's going out there, regardless of what happens to our life out, what's happening to the life out there, in our Father's house, there is everything and much more than we need. And if we are under his care, then we never have to worry about that. See, Pastor Crystal preached last Wednesday and told us that the storm is coming. See, this is not the time to be away from home. No. See, if you are not home, you need to run home. You do. Because whatever is coming, you need to be under your daddy's protection.
Yes.
See, this is the time for us to check ourselves and see where we are, how far we are home, how far we are from home. It's time to get rid of those things that are keeping us away from home. It's time for us to come home. See, under your Father's protection, you can get to have that relationship with our God. You wake up in the morning, and if he's in you're in the same house, you can be able to ask him to order your steps every morning. During lunchtime, you can ask him to give you the strength to overcome all the struggles and all the storms that are going on in your life. In the evening, you can ask him to give you secrets and give you specific purpose for what you're doing. See, this intimacy can only happen when you're in the Father's house. So that's why he's saying today, come home. See, when the son realized that something was wrong, when he realized that he was hungry and his father's house is a lot of things, he remembered his father's place. He remembered. Because we are not immune to going away from our father's house. Sometimes even with our best intentions, we step out a little bit. But we have to remember our father's house. We have to remember what's in there. We have to remember the love and the care that he has for us in there. See, the son did not wait any minute longer. He got up and started walking home to his father. See, sometimes we need to start just get up and start running to our father's house. And then through there, we can get protection. See, he walked against all odds. In his mind, he had a speech. Dad, I do not deserve to be called your child. I have sinned to heaven and to you. I have done this and that. I'm so much of a sinner. Please make me one of your servants. Please give me time to earn my way back to your heart. And this is the same mentality that we have sometimes. That I have done so much wrong, God. That I am so far away from you, God. Let me try my way back a little bit. Then hopefully, Lord, you can hold me. Let me do A, B, C, D. Let me do this and this so the Lord, you can accept me. But see what his father says. So when he came, the Bible says that when his father saw him from a distance, he ran and embraced him. See, verse 21 says, his son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But his father, verse 22, his father said to his servant, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. So he doesn't even acknowledge what he's saying. He doesn't even listen. He doesn't care what you've done. And that's a statement there. This guy, in our father's house, there's so much. But this guy in his father's house, which was our worldly world, he had taken half of it. So you'd have thought you'd at least told him one or two points about this. He doesn't really care about this at all. He just runs to him, embraces him, pulls him and says, he's like, I don't want to hear what you're saying. You go get a rope for him. Bring so we can restore him to who he's supposed to be. See, this is our father's heart. Today he's saying, I see where you are. I stand at the door, I stand at the road and at the house out there in the road, and I look and I'm waiting for you to come so I can run, hug you, embrace you, and restore you to who I created you to be. Yes. And he's saying, you do not have to do anything special today. You don't have to fix yourself. You don't have to do anything extra. All I need you to do is master the strength you have to come home, and I will restore you. Amen. See, I say this evening, you don't have to do anything more than to get your strength and start heading home. See, all those things that you're needing to fix or need more time to correct them, they are just the enemy's way of keeping you away from home. Yeah. Stop formulating a comeback speech. Come just like you are to your loving army father. He's waiting at the gate, ready to run and embrace you. See, Matthew 11:28 says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Stop. He doesn't say, come to me, all those who have a speech, all those who want to correct stuff. Come to me, all those who have fixed your stuff. Come to me, all those who have an idea of how I can restore you. He's saying, come to me if you're carrying any burdens, any heavy burden, if you're feeling weary, I will give you rest. Who needs rest? I need rest, right? So he's saying, come home. Verse 3 to 26, we must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now returned to life. He was lost, but now he's found. And that's the same thing our God is saying, come to me. Let's celebrate. Let's celebrate because you came back home. My intention for you was to always be under my care. So come back home. Come back home and we'll throw a party. And Luke 15:10 says, in the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angel when even one sinner repents.
Yes.
Same parallel. The son comes home, dad throws a party. You come home, the angels throw a party. Jesus came for this exact reason. He's leading us back to our Father's house. See, you don't have to have it right. You don't have to know what to say. You just have to come because our Father is waiting. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Please come home. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we honor you, God. We thank you because you are such a darling Father, God, that you are calling us home, God, regardless of our minds, of our lives, of where we are or what we are doing, God. You're just saying, come home, God. And I pray, Jehovah God, that everybody who's listening today, Jehovah God, that the Father, they'll realize the love that you have for them. That they'll realize, Jehovah God, that you created them, you looked at them, and you said they were perfect, God. And you just want them home, oh God. So I pray, Jesus, that they will realize that and come running to you, King of Glory, God. Walk with us, oh God. Continue to remind us of your love for us, God. And let us walk towards you in every way, God. Let us not find our own ways, King of Glory, but let us find you, Jesus. So, Father, we can be home in your protection, God. We praise you and we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Did you guys receive today? All right. All right. Don't get your kids and see you guys on Sunday, 9/11.
Thank you for watching the Faith and Victory live stream. If you'd like to learn more about our church, please check us out online at faithandvictory.com. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat, and we'd love to connect with you there. If you'd like to financially support Faith and Victory Church's ministry, please text FAVC to 77977. God bless you and keep you. From the FVC Live team.